Morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. It happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Yet the Lord called Samuel, and he said, Here I am. Then he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you. Call, lie down again. So went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not know, the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for thy servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, Here I am. And he said, What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. This is the beginning of what we call the prophetic call to Samuel. But even more than that, historically, this is the beginning of God speaking and ending a famine over Israel. And so we read in the beginning of chapter 3 that at this point, God was not really speaking to his people that much. You know, there was what we would consider a famine of hearing God's voice or hearing God's word. You know, for whatever reason, you know, obviously there was a lot of evil going on. You know, and part of what Samuel is prophesying here actually relates to his sons, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And they were actually having sex with women at the gate of the temple. And can you imagine, right? And so, but the father, Eli, didn't do much about it. You know, and so the anger of the Lord burned against him, and there were other words that came to Eli, and you know, he just wasn't a good dad, or I should say, he was a better dad than he was a priest. You know, and he kind of let his sons get away with things that you know, in reality, that they actually should be put to death. And so he's in this predicament, and so God's not really speaking to his people very much. You know, and I just chose this passage. We're going to be talking about hearing God's voice probably throughout this week. You know, and you come to this place and you say, well, why, you know, I mean, you have all these years and years and years where there's a famine, you know, where God doesn't really speak that much, you know, to his people, but then why all of a sudden, why Samuel, you know, and, you know, honestly, I wish I knew the answer to that question. I really don't, you know, but it's one of those things that just keeps popping. Why Samuel, you know, after, you know, you have a whole drought. And why this little boy? You know, obviously we know the story of Hannah, and you know what a heartwarming story that is. And you know he was given over and dedicated to the Lord in that way. And so I just throw out a few things that I think may, you know, just very well maybe some of the reasons why God spoke to Samuel. You know, besides choosing all these other people, one, and it's not so explicit in the text, right? But I'll explain it to you. Samuel is actually a Nazarite. And a Nazirite, you know, there's passages in the Old Testament, and these were people that were just solely dedicated to the Lord. And even so much so that, you know, obviously there were cleansing rituals and there were laws and, you know, and all these different things in relation to the Israelites, but the Nazirites took it a whole nother step further. You know, and so if you, you know, most of us are familiar with, you know, Samson, who was the Nazirite, but he wasn't a very good one. You know, but Samuel was a very good one, you know, and then, you know, later, you know, we know about John the Baptist and, you know, these kind of things. These are people that were just given over, you know, to basically an extreme sense of holiness, you know. And there's something that needs to be said about that. I know, like, we're in such a modern church, you know. Not that our church is modern, but we're in the time of the modern church. You know, and it seems like, you know, everyone is into grace, you know, just grace upon you. Oh, that's great, you know, and that's wonderful to a sense, but grace that doesn't lead to anything, you know, is what we call cheap grace, right? You know, if Jonathan is, you know, you should have sat in the front, Jonathan, right? And if Jonathan is just committing sin after sin after sin, and I just give him grace and grace and grace upon grace, you know, but he doesn't change his ways. He's messed up, man. You know, I mean, there is bad things that are going to happen in his life and whatnot. But see, we grew up in this swing, and it, right now it's so hip to be tolerant. You know, can I suggest to you that being tolerant is actually not being loving? You know, being loving sometimes is confronting, you know, and sharing, you know, and rebuking in these things, but we come from an age where I think a lot of it is that we have so much insecurity in our life that we want to be liked by everybody. We want everyone to like us. You know, we don't want to cause any trouble, you know, in these things. But that sometimes that's not the ways of the Lord, you know. You know, the scripture talks about in Galatians says, you being spiritual, you know, go basically help your friend out of the predicament that they're in. And sometimes grace, and, you know, I forgive you, and tolerance, you know, will actually make the situation much worse. You know, I mean, if you're ever around people that take drugs and whatnot, every once in a while, they need to have an intervention. You know, they need people that love them to say, hey, man, you're destroying your life. You know, and hopefully they come around, you know, as a result. And so, you know, in Samuel's day, man, the guy was holy. You know, he was so holy. And, you know, in our day, you know, we see people that are going after holiness. And what do we call that? We call them legalists. You know, I mean, we have all these different, they're holy rollers, you know. They're, you know, what are you trying to be like, you know, like God or something? Yeah, actually we are, you know. You know, there is a part of us that we should be striving after holiness. You know, we should be striving to live a good life, you know. And not because we're legalistic, right, but because we know that, you know, the grace of the Father flows even stronger in the lives of His people that are holy. You know, God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." You know, I mean, there's something about that, and I feel like in a lot of ways we've kind of lost that. You know, as a generation, you know, it's you know, things that happen now, you know, are just like anathema. You know. Even you know, a generation before ago, like I know I share on this a lot with you guys, because you know it's just sometimes boggles my mind. But even, you know, I'll just point something out, right? Even like dating couples, you know, that are not even married yet, you know, they go off on vacation together. I'm like, what are you guys, married or something? You know what I mean? It's this kind of attitude, and it's you know, it's like, well, we're almost married, you know, but it's like, but you're living like a married couple, but you're not. That's a violation of holiness. You know, not only does the scripture tells us, right, it says, you know, keep away from every form, every appearance of evil, right? And you're like, oh, Pastor, we're not doing anything. Yeah, I know you're not doing anything, you know, but still keep away from every appearance. That's how important, that's how careful people were. You know, how God asked, you know, but now it's just become so loose, you know, in our church cultures. You know, we push the envelope, you know, so much in so many different ways, right? And you know, in a way, no wonder God doesn't speak to us. You know what I mean? No wonder we don't get to hear the voice of the Lord over our lives, because we, you know, many times we have a culture of compromise and convenience. You know, to be a Nazirite was just hard work, man. I mean, it's not just about the hair, and about, not eating certain things or not drinking wine, or any kind of alcohol. It actually had so much more to do with that. It was about interacting with dead bodies, and I mean, there were all these different rites of passage, different things as a Nazirite. And Samuel was completely dedicated to the Lord in that way. He was holy. He made it a point, and of course his mom dedicated him, and he was under the house of Eli and these things, but he made a point. And imagine, right? Think in this context, it wasn't like it was an easy thing for him, right? Because here you have Eli who's in charge of Samuel, and then Eli's sons are the biggest sinners in all of Israel. And so he had some pretty good role models that he could have followed, but he chose to follow the Lord. Right? And there's something about that in our context, living here in Hong Kong. You're in work environments, and you're in places where there's just a lot of sin going on. And you can really choose to walk in that way, or you can choose, to follow the Lord. I mean, I don't know. For me, it's just so black and white, Oh, Pastor Sam, this is the way business is done. I don't think so. I really don't think so, Because when we operate in that way, let me be very clear, right? When we operate in that way, the central issue is not really about your business or anything. It's about trust. And you come down to it, and you basically say, well, who got you this job? Is it your company? Is it your boss? Are they paying you, or is God paying you? Who's really covering you? Is it whatever's going on here? Are you accountable to them? Are you accountable to God? Right? Because the saying goes, Pastor, if I don't do this, then I'm going to lose this account. Surely if you follow the Lord's way, right, that there is blessing that's going to flow through your life more than you can ever handle. I mean, isn't that true? But who's our boss? Is Goldman Sachs or whatever law firm, or is it really the Lord? A lot of people want to make a gray area about it, but I see it as so black and white. And at some point we need to choose. And I know this is not easy to hear, right? But I mean, that's really, we come to the place of choice, and we choose to follow what happens in the world. Samuel could have very easily done that, and this is what's happening in the church, and well, he could have just followed along with Eli, with Hophni and Phinehas, but he chose to be holy. There's just something about that. I think that we're really missing out in, as a generation. As just a people of God, there's hardly any stress on holiness. And it's not about rules and regulations, and we have some as a church, especially in leadership. I'm very clear of some rules that we lay down, for our leaders, but it's not about rules and regulations. It's about an issue of the heart, of wanting to be like God. And he says, God says, be holy, for I am holy. There's something so supernatural about that. And I think that's one of the reasons why God chose Samuel, right, to speak through. He, in a generation, in a time where there was hardly any holiness going on, where anything goes, where, people were sleeping, with each other in the gate of the temple. I mean, that is just incredible to even, recognize. I mean, that would be akin to some of you guys coming here like 3 a.m. and having sex outside of our church door. It was just like, that would never happen. Can you imagine it happening in this context here? Right? I mean, that's just crazy. But it's happening in this time, in this place, and Samuel has chosen the other way. Another part here, and I'm speaking much longer than I thought. The other part here says that when Samuel lay down, where did he lay down? Right? He lay down next to the Ark of the Covenant. And so he always made sure he was next to the presence of God. He always made a point, if his resting place was going to be the presence. Right? Man, there's just something about that. The place where he lays down his head is going to be the place where the presence of God is. Now, I'm not insinuating that everyone now leave your homes and come sleep at church, okay? Because this is not necessarily, or the only place where the presence of God is. But Samuel made it a point that he was going to go where the presence was. And if I could use a metaphor, he was going to lay his head, he was going to place his hopes, he was going to place himself where the presence is. And it's not about you, following, an anointing or anything like that. But it's finding that place of rest in the presence of God. You know, and you know, you could be tired and have all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of things running through our minds. You know, but even in the midst of that, you find that place of rest, and it's in the presence of the Lord, right? That in the presence of God is where you can put your head down, where you can let go of your guard. You know, you can take the masks off, you know, that you can be real and just surrender to the Lord in that way, right? And it's done in the presence, right? And so he's in the ark, you know, that's the ark represented the resting present glory of God. And so he's in that place, you know, and then the word of the Lord comes and it says, Samuel. And so he freaks out. So he goes to Eli, right? Samuel, right? He goes to Eli the second time. And then finally, third time, Eli, you know, he finally wakes up and says, hey, you know what? I think maybe the Lord may be speaking to you, right? You know, and so, you know, there's something about just staying there. You know, a lot of times, you know, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, sometimes when I pray, you know, because, you know, we do a lot of intercession, right? So I'm always praying for a lot of people and doing a lot of things, you know. And then, you know, when, you know, time crunch or whatever the case may be, you know, I have to leave, I have to do something. And that's usually precisely the time that God wants to speak to me. You know, prayer, right, is a two-way communication, right? Prayer is not just you talking to God. Actually, true prayer is you actually listening to the Lord and then praying what he tells you to pray. That's actually true prayer, right? It's a two-way communication, you know? And so we always say that if you're spending 50% of your time talking to God, you should be spending 50% of your time listening to the Lord as well. You know, and you know, it's a two-way communication, right? You know, we shared about the Lord's Prayer, right, over on Sunday. You know, our Father who art in heaven, let, you know, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, let your will be done on earth and heaven as it already has been done in, you know, on earth as already has been done in heaven. Well, you know, that's the time where you listen, you know, Lord, what is your will in heaven? And let's translate that here to earth. You know, and so it's a time for us to just kind of stop, and sometimes we are so hurried in our prayer life. You know what I mean? And I know there's a time issue and things like that, you know, but we're so hurried. You know, I would say this. If you hear, you know, and you come in the morning and you only have a certain amount of time, right, you know, to pray through things, I would suggest to you that you spend most of your time actually listening. Because you know what? You can pray while you're walking to work, you know, while you're in a cab. You know, you can do all those things. But, you know, to really hear from the Lord requires us to just stop everything. You know, and just to rest, right? And just to be in his presence, right? And so, you know, I mean, it, you know, if obviously you have to pray, you know, we pray certain things, right, every day, you know? But, you know, I suggest to you that if that's the case, you know, you could very easily, on the way to work, just pray over those certain things as well, you know? But in time that you have, just to sit and listen, you know? And then the last part here, and so Eli tells the boy to go, and so Eli gives the really good advice finally, right? And he says, when the Lord speaks to you again, and say, speak, my Lord, I'm your servant, right? And, you know, to really hear from the Lord, there has to be a yieldedness in our heart, right? That we're willing to do what he asks us to do, right? Speak, my Lord, your servant is listening, right? In other words, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to do your will. You know, there's that yieldedness, you know, and I'll be honest with us, right, with you guys. A lot of times, that is precisely the reason why God doesn't speak to us, you know, in more regular ways. I mean, God's always speaking, you know, but the words, you know, his voice can become fainter and fainter and fainter. You know, and I shared this before. Sometimes, it's actually a gift of God for your life that he doesn't speak to you. Let me explain what I mean, right? Let's say God would tell Nelly, right? God would speak to Nelly and says, God says, Nelly, I want you to give up running for a season of time, right? And so let's say, you know, Nelly just, you know, forget it, right? And disobeys the Lord. Don't worry, I'm not saying that he's saying this, okay? I know she's getting nervous right now, right? You know, but she, you know, so she disobeys the Lord. Now, when the word of the Lord comes and we disobey, right, guess what happens? Judgment needs to fall on, you know, because of disobedience, right? So a lot of times God doesn't speak to people because he knows that you're going to disobey him, you know? Now, we may think, whew, man, we just, okay, good, no judgment, right? But the bad thing of that is no opportunity, no growth, no blessing, right? You know, no future. You know what I mean? I mean, you may have escaped judgment for that little period of time, right? You know, no relationship, no intimacy, no answered prayer. You know, I don't know if that's worth it. You know what I mean? So, you know, if because the Lord knows, right? Sometimes it is purely out of His mercy that He doesn't speak to you guys because you're unwilling to obey. You know, and so there's got to be a constant yieldedness in our life, right? That we're willing to obey what God has for us. You know, whatever the Lord speaks to us, there's a willingness to obey. You know, it's a heart thing in our lives. You know, it's a moving of our hearts. And, you know, and I wonder how many times, you know, God has bypassed us, you know, because that's simple. We're just unwilling to obey. We're so stuck with our own agenda, you know, or we so love something, you know, more than we loved Him and His Word, you know, that we stuck onto that, you know, and thus created all kinds of mistakes that generally follow, you know, an unwillingness to obey in our lives. All right, so let's close our eyes today. This is probably not the easiest message to hear on a Tuesday morning. Why did God choose Samuel? In a period of hundreds of years of not hearing His voice regularly, I mean, I'm not sure either, right? But I just throw these things out. Samuel was holy. He took it on himself that he would not sin against the Lord. And there's something profound about that. Actually, something so simple. Is there a willingness in our heart to obey Him? Whatever He asks us to do. It's kind of a heart check time. Let's go to the Lord as Jisun leads us in a song. And let's just check our hearts before God.
Be pleasing to
Let's pray. Let's pray that we'd be a people and a community that really hears from the Lord. Right? There'll be a sense of holiness in our life and, you know, a realization that we need to be in His presence and a willingness to do what He asks us to do. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Right? There will be people that really hear from the Lord and really grow in that way. Let's pray together. Let's pray for people in our community that have some prayer needs at this time. Let's pray for Chelsea, who's should have just gotten out of the hospital yesterday. She had a minor operation as a growth burst in her body. And so let's pray for a quick recovery for her. Let's pray for Ashley Louis, for her father, and ask the Lord to heal him and to minister to him and the family. Let's pray. There's another brother in our church whose mom has cancer, and let's pray for healing for his mother and ask God's grace to just really come upon them. And the others that you know throughout our community that are going through different things, let's just lift them up before the Lord and ask God's mercy and His grace and His healing hand to come over them. Let's pray. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Lam Kwai Fong House Church and for Star Street and for Seymour Road, and pray for our leaders and that we just have real grace-filled worship and ministry and the Word, and that people would grow and there would be a sense of a real strong love for one another and for the Lord. Let's just cover our meetings tonight and ask for God's hand to be with us. Let's pray for our building search and our building fund. Let's ask God to continue to bless those that give. And God's really done some amazing miracles with people through their pledges. And probably in a few weeks we'll start sharing some of those testimonies. But let's just really pray that God would just give us wisdom, and especially over the steering committee. You know, let's pray, you know, I don't know if, I guess we're starting to make it public, but we're really asking the Lord to give us the Vine Center as they move out of their church. And so let's just ask the Lord to come and really bless the Vine so they'd be able to move, and, you know, and everything would go well on their end, and then everything would go on well on our end as well. Right? This is something only God can do. And so let's just pray for God's grace for this move for both churches. Let's lift up. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Japan. You know, let's ask God to flow through this country. Let's pray for Kenny Ye, who's there right now. And let's also prophetically pray for our church that will be in Tokyo someday. You know, pray for SP Tokyo, and that God would just really build a work there. And let's just lift up this country and pray that God would come in power, you know. The churches are small there, but the cults are big. And so people are hungry. They're just not getting an effective message, I guess, in some ways, right? The cults are very successful in Japan, you know. And so let's just really pray that their activity would cease, and that the activity of the Church of God would just continue to grow and blossom. Let's just pray. Lord, we bless you, God. We thank you today. Father, make us a people that hear your voice, God. Lord, that are concerned, God, with the way that we live our lives, God. Lord, we don't want to just know a lot of things, Father God. Lord, we want to live it. And so would you help us, God, to move beyond information, God, and to transformation, God, in our lives. Lord, Holy Spirit, we continue to invite you into our hearts, into our lives, into our workplaces, our families. Lord, and come and just breathe upon them, God. Lord, let the life of God flow, God, in our lives. Watch over us, God, this day. Help us to glorify your Son, Jesus, in all that we do. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. And have a great day today. And we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.